We're going to learn Daf Lamed Zayin and Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start, however, from four lines before the bottom of Daf Lamed Vav and Beis. So this takes us to a whole new sugya. So it's a good place to start. The Gemara at the bottom of the Lamed Vav and Beis quotes from the Mishnah Malamed Medrash Halachas VaAgodos. Avaloi ilam denu mikro. So this is, remember, going back on the topic of somebody who made a neder. He said, I'm not going to give you hana, whoever you is. I'm not going to give you hana. And even though you made this neder, there are certain things that are permitted. So till now we were talking about the fact that you're able to bring, if he's a kohen, he's able to bring a korban on behalf of the person that he's not allowed to give hana to. So this is the next case in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah makes a distinction, and this is what we have to keep track of today. Makes a distinction between teaching the person Chumash versus teaching the person Medrash and commentaries to the Chumash. So apparently, teaching Chumash itself is what's not permitted. Okay? That's what we just have to remember. You're not allowed to teach Chumash. Chumash is, as we'll see in a moment, that's the absolute obligation that a person has to do. So, in fact, if you have to go out and get someone, you have to pay them to teach you Chumash. So, Mamelo, that becomes the case, when there's a financial hano involved over here, that becomes the case that's not permitted if you make a neder. Okay. So, first the Gemara wants to get the basic explanation. What's the difference between Torah? They're all Torah, so what's the difference? Mikra mai taima lo yilam denu. What would be the reason why one is not permitted to teach his friend Torah, Chumash, if it's because of the neder? Mishum dekuma hanilei. So because I'm giving you this hana that I'm giving you. Now the hana, the way the Ran learns, and other Rishonim learn otherwise, but for the most part we're going to learn the Ran, is that really he has to hire me to teach him the Chumash. And I say to him, no, you don't have to pay me. I'll teach it to you for free. So it's the mechila of that money, and that money, whatever it is, that's the hana. So if that's the case, Medrash Nami Kama Hanilei, it would be the same thing. He should theoretically be paying me to teach him Medrash, and I say, no, thank you. That should be the same hana. It should be just as awesome. So Amar Shmuel, B'mokim, Shenoitlin Tzchar Ala Mikra, Ve'einoitlin Tzchar Ala Medrash. It's a place where they would usually pay for Chumash, but they wouldn't necessarily pay for Medrash. So, of course, the Gemara's first question is, my Pascha. Why is that the case? I mean, that's very nice that you make that case, but why would you make that case that you would pay for this and not pay for that? So, it's important to read the next line of the Gemara, now on the top of Lamed Zayin of the Aleph. The Gemara says, Hakamash Malon, the Afilu B'Makom Shenoitan Schar. Now, it's an interesting word, Afilu. Even in the places where they do take payment, Al Mikra Shari, for taking payment for Chumash, that would be permissible, Lemishkal, to take, sorry, a Medrash, Lo Yishar Lemishkal, but for Medrash, it is not permitted to take. And the Gemara now, in the next line, is going to explain what the difference is. But first you need to know as follows. It's not permitted to take payment, you have to teach Medrash for free, as we'll see in a moment, and therefore it's not permitted to take payment. So the way the Ran gets into it is, okay, so once Medrash is teaching that aspect of Torah is not permitted to take money, so then the question is, even if there is a part, such as Chumash, that you are allowed to take money for, so then there apparently were some places where the minig was to take, and some places the minig was not to take, because they don't want to make a distinction, right? For Medrash, it's for sure aser. So now, for Chumash, we'll see whether it's technically mutter, so some places did, some places didn't. And that's what the Gemara is saying, is that we are talking about a place where they did allow you to take money. So now that they allowed you to take money, so now when the guy says, okay, I'll pay you, and you say, no thank you, now you're giving him a hano. Because that's the hano that you were given. By Medrash, he was never going to pay you in the first place. So you're just teaching it because the Torah, it's all free. So everything that's free, that's not considered a hano. Mitzvah slav lahenis nitnu. We don't consider doing a mitzvah ever a technical hana. So therefore, that would be permitted. Okay? But you really have to continue reading one more line of the Gemara to get a full explanation. So now, what's the difference? The Torah is Torah. What's the difference between Chumash and Medrash? Maishna Medrash Deloy. How come you're not allowed to teach Medrash, which is just another aspect of Torah? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, "Va'oisi tziva Hashem be'esahi." Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that Hashem taught me Torah, l'lamed eschem, to teach you. Okay, dechsiv. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'eh lamadati eschem chukum u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, and now see, I'm teaching you the Torah that Hashem taught me. And we darshan, ma'ani b'chinam, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu for free, afatem na'mi b'chinam. So too, you also, when you teach the Torah to anybody else, you're going to be free. So that would be the reason why it's not permissible to take money for teaching Medrash. If that's the makor, if that's the source in the Torah that says that you have to do it for free, mikra nami b'chinam. So the Chumash is clearly one of the things that are min haTorah, is teaching Torah. That also should be for free. So finally the Gemara says, okay, here's really the distinction. Rav Omar Schar Shimur. Rav says really what you're taking the money for is not for the teaching, but it's for the babysitting. The reason why you're taking Torah is because these kids would be running around. Now it's very important, the Ron sets up over here the reason. When you're dealing with little kids, they like to run outside and make trouble. So the Rebbe has to keep them inside. That's the way the Ron says it, and that's important for the Gemara later. So it's the fact that I'm keeping them out of trouble, that's the Shimer that we're talking about over here, and that's what I'm getting paid for. I'm not getting paid for the Chumash. It's the Chumash is the thing to keep them occupied so that they don't run around outside. So then when we talk about Chumash, we're really talking about just little kids, and usually the little kids are the ones that need to learn Chumash. The adults learn Chumash already, so the adults are up to the next stage. But I'm not paying you for the Chumash, I'm paying you for the babysitting. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Schar Pisuk Taimim. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, I'm teaching you an aspect of the Torah that is not, and we'll see based on the Gemara Nama Beis, it's not technically deraisa. It's not really it's not what Moshe Rabbeinu learned from HaKadosh Baruch. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu learned the whole Torah, including the Rabbanans and so on and so forth. But that's not the Torah part of what he learned, everything else. This is just the explanation of the Torah, how to read the Psukim, whether we're talking about the Trop, whether we're talking about what's a Pasuk and what's not a Pasuk. But the point is, it's not the Pasuk itself, it's just setting it up in a way so that you could learn the Pasuk. But anyway, that's what I'm paying for. I'm paying for the extra credit, the explanation, so that you can learn the basic Chumash. But that's permitted. So it comes out, and this is the way a lot of Rishonim learn, that basically the Machlekes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, again, we'll get to this in Amar Beis in a second, but Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is whether the nuance, the trup, and the nekudos of a pasuk, whether that's considered midaraisa or not midaraisa. Okay? If Rabbi Yochanan clearly holds that it's not, and that's why it's permitted to teach that, it's permitted to take money for that. Rav held that that was just as deraisa as reading the Chumash itself. You can't read the Chumash without knowing how to read it. So therefore, it's just included in any other part of Torah. So it's all going to be also. So that's why Rav has to come up with this whole explanation that has nothing to do with the teaching. It has to do with the babysitter. And that's why it's permitted to take money. In any event, the bottom line is, really, you're not allowed to get paid ever for teaching Torah. The only thing you're really allowed to get paid for is the peripherals around the Torah, and that's why that's what's mutter, and that's what the Gemara over here is saying. But that you have to pay for. You have to pay for the babysitting. So Mamela, when a guy says, I'll teach third grade without getting paid, that's a mechila, because he really has to get paid for that, and that's what would be usher if I make a neder that I'm not going to give you hana. Being moichel that payment is being moichel the hana. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is saying so far. That's the basic, and that's the key really of the sugi over here. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. Tanan. The Gemara says, lo yalam denu mikro. Now we're just going to quote the Mishnah itself because the words of the Mishnah need an additional explanation. It says you're not allowed to teach him Chumash. That's what you're not allowed to do. So Bishlam of the Mandiyah Marschar Pisuk Taimim. If you're talking about that I'm going to teach you how to read the pasuk, how to stop, where to stop, how to pronounce it, and so on. So Haina Dula Yalam Denim. So that's why the Mishnah uses the word teaching. You are not allowed to teach the Chumash. El Mandiyah Marschar Shimur. But if we're talking about watching, you're just, you know, just babysitting, what is that Godol Bar Shimur Hu? So, what, I don't have to watch an adult. An adult is, you know, it doesn't need me to babysit him. So what is the pasuk, what is the Mishnah talking about with teaching him? We're not even talking about teaching, we're talking about watching. So the Gemara answers very simply, the Katon, Katani. We're talking about a little kid. Talking about a little kid, no problem, and a kid does need to be watched, and that's the case in the Mishnah, that I'm watching the little kid, and the father is going to pay me. So one second. So that's not so simple to say the case, is that's the case in the Mishnah, because Amos say, if you read the end words of the Mishnah, it says, Avo Melamed Ezbanov Mikra. But I can't teach you the Psukim, but I can teach your kids. The Psukim, to teach the little kids is permissible. So Katan Bar Banim Hu. So what do you mean? So if I made the neder about the katan, how am I allowed to teach the little kids, little kids? They don't have, you know, a 10-year-old kid doesn't have children. So the Gemara says, Chasurim Mechzer Avahachi Gatani. It's obviously missing words in the Mishnah, and you have to read the Mishnah because obviously that doesn't make any sense. We can't be talking about the nethers on a little kid and then the little kid's kids. That's impossible. So obviously the word's missing from the Mishnah, and the way to read the Mishnah is as follows. Lo yilam denu mikra b'kata. Enochanami, you cannot teach a katan little chumash, because you and this is talking about to the father, or even if the kid itself is the kid that you made the neder from, because you're going to be giving him the hana of watching him. However, imhaya gadol, but let's say the guy that you made the neder to, or the neder about, that you're not going to give the hana is a gadol, even so, malam deloy ulevanov mikra, you could teach him and his children chumash. Because if we're talking about Shimur, so if you're talking about the Pisuk, again, that would be permitted to even a Gadol. But if you're talking about the Shimur, we're talking about to his kids, the kids, you can teach him and his kids the Pisuk Taimim, you can teach them that extra, if you hold that, that's not really, so to speak, part of the Chumash, that's just extra explanation. So then that's going to be mutter. So you have to read the Mishnah in two ways. One is directly I can't teach you the person who's Aser, and if I'm talking to a Gadol, but to his children it would be mutter. Okay, that becomes the way to read the Gemara. Okay, but we're not done yet, because we still need a little bit more explanation. Meisve, I'll ask you a contradiction. It says, Tinoikas loy kairin betchilo b'Shabbos. This is a totally different Mishnah. It has to do with, on Shabbos, what you're allowed to start with, what you're allowed to learn on Shabbos, and whose svarim you're allowed to use, and so on. So it says, you're not allowed to teach a little child on Shabbos something brand new. You can't start a new topic with a kid on Shabbos. Elashoinim berishoin, but rather you could chazer for the first time on Shabbos. Okay, so if they learned it even once, this could be their first time that they're repeating it. That would be mutter. It just can't be the brand new topic. So now, bishlam d'man d'yom eschar pisuk taimim. If we're talking about over here, the sugya is talking about adding that explanation. Hayu de'en koyrim b'tchilu b'Shabbos. So that would be the first. You're teaching them something new. It's a new topic, so that I understand why that has to do, how that plays into Shabbos. You know, now how to teach that on Shabbos. Elamandi Yomer Schar Shimur. But if you're just talking about babysitting, am I in Karim B'Tchidu B'Shabbos? Why, what difference is, if you're watching them, what difference does it make what you're teaching in the first place? The topic of discussion has nothing to do with anything. It's either you're watching them on Shabbos or you're not watching them on Shabbos. And the same thing. What would be the difference between if the point is when I'm watching them, I'm not allowed to be learning with them, so then I shouldn't be able to repeat a chazara either. It should, even if they did learn it once before. If that's the issue, if the issue is I can't be learning a hard topic with them, what difference does it make if it's a brand new topic or it's a new topic? Ikas Char Shimur. So the Gemara answers, you're right. The Isser over there is Ikas Char Shimur l'Shabbos. So the issue over there is, has nothing to do with really the topic that you're learning. The issue has to do with the fact that you're not allowed to get payment for working on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, that's the issue. The issue is getting paid on Shabbos. Ula Taimech, Schar Pisuk b'Shabbos mi Oser. Even if you want to say that that's the issue is getting paid on Shabbos, is getting paid to teach the kid how to read on Shabbos, is getting paid for working on Shabbos really Osir Havlohi? It's considered Havloh, it's just getting, it gets absorbed into your general payment, the Havloh Mishra Shari, and getting absorbed into a payment is permissible. As we'll see in 1 second, that idea is, if I pay you, if I'm paying you for Shabbos, that's usur. But if I'm paying you, as we'll see the example in a second, if I'm paying you for the week, and the week includes one of those days happens to be Shabbos, then I'm not paying you for Shabbos, I'm paying you for the week. Shabbos happens to be included over there also, so that's going to be mutter. So again, over here, if we're talking about teaching, and your issue really was the Shabbos issue, so then that we could get around that Shabbos issue. We just include the whole week, not just Shabbos. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. So if I hire somebody to babysit, this is exactly our case. Or there's other examples, Lishmar Saparo, to watch an animal, Lishmar Sazroim, or to even watch my field so that it doesn't get destroyed. Ein nois and lois schar Shabbos. You're not allowed to pay him for Shabbos. I can't say I am paying you for the day of Shabbos X dollars. Lefichach, therefore, now on the top of Amud Beis, lefichach im abdu enechay b'achri yusad. So then the Gemara over here is going on a different topic, but because I'm not technically paying you for that work, he's not going to be obligated for achrayis. Now, what is the achrayis over here we're talking about? This also, once again, is machlokes rishonim. But the point is that we're changing his status from a shomer socher or a socher, shomer socher here, to a shomer chinam. He's not going to. He's a shomer chinam, and for shomer chinam, I'm not responsible. The level of responsibility is much less when you're dealing with a shomer chinam than a shomer socher. Because again, because I'm not allowed to pay you for Shabbos, anything I'm doing on Shabbos is viewed and considered as if I'm doing it for free. Okay, so we didn't get to the Havloah part of it yet. Just so that you happen to know, there are Rishonim that learn based on this Lashon, Im Avdu Enechayev B'Achri Yusin is talking about even Pshiyah, that you're totally not Chayev for anything. You're not even Chayev like a Shomer Chinam. They want to be Medayik from this Gemara over here also. Shomer Chinam normally is not allowed to be negligent. He's not responsible for Geneva and Aveda, you know, the higher level things. But there are some Rishonim that want to learn based on this Gemara that he's not even chayv for anything. Absolutely anything. What?
How do they see?
Because it says, Im Avdu Eina Chayv Ba'achri Yusin. He is not responsible for, he has no responsibility to it whatsoever. So that means even the level of Shomer Chinam they don't have. Because it's almost as if we don't have a relationship. He just happens to be there. Okay, but anyway, that's not our focus of our sugi right now. Right now we're focused on the idea of whether or not you're allowed to get paid on Shabbos. So right now the Braisa is set up to say that you're not allowed to get paid on Shabbos. Not allowed to get paid on Shabbos. So Mamelo, you have no responsibility. So we're back to our question over here. So how are you teaching this kid on Shabbos? So finally the Braisa concludes, V'im hoyas chir Shabbos, but if he is getting paid for the whole week, he's hired for the whole week, or schir chodesh, he's hired for the whole month, schir shana for the whole year, schir shvua for the whole, now shvua over here is, this is the Gemara for whatever reason, it means shmita, right, it means for 7 years, for a long contract, nois and lois chir Shabbos, then, as we said before, this is the point, you're allowed to do havlo, then you're allowed to pay him for that day of Shabbos, also. I'll get back to that in 1 second. Let's finish the sentence. So therefore, now that you're getting paid, you are a responsible person, and you're a shomer socher, so you're going to get paid. Now it's a very interesting discussion once again in the Rishonim. So what is that? How does Havloah work? Does Havloah work? Because especially in our society, we say, okay, you're getting paid $10 an hour. And then I figure out that you're going to be working 7 days a week, you're going to work 70 hours. So I pay you for 70 hours. So but that really is calculating precisely that you're really getting paid the 10 hours on Shabbos. Right. So there's a machlokes rishonim once again over here, and it's not my job to paskin, I'm just telling you there's a machlokes rishonim. When I pay you for the full week, calculated based on working on Shabbos as another day, it just happens to be that I'm paying you as a lump sum for the whole week. Is that permitted? Or do I literally have to say, I'm paying you, instead of paying you $10 an hour, I'm paying you $11 an hour for 6 days of week, and then you throw in the seventh day for free. Like, I don't even calculate, so to speak, even though you might end up in the same place, but I'm really not, at least I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that I'm paying you for Shabbos. Okay, so this is a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim are really makbid that you can't say that it's calculated. Even though I'm saying the whole week, you can't say that. And for the day of Shabbos, it's another day. Every day I pay you $10, so at the end of the week I pay you $70. No, that's usur. I can say I'm paying you for the week $70. You go do the math. I'm not saying it. So this is an interesting machlokes rishonim. In any event, the point of the Gemara is that there is a concept of hablo. The concept is however the right way to say it is, but you could say it in a way where I'm not paying you technically for Shabbos, so if that's the case, then I should be able to teach you, if I'm hired for the week, I should be able to teach you on Shabbos. Okay, so what the Gemara is saying over here is, so now we've seen that there is a concept of Havla, now that we know they've established that there's Havla, so it's possible to be doing the teaching on Shabbos. Okay, so now, We're back to our original question is, so what's the difference between teaching a brand new sugya versus even if they've learned it once before, even if it's the first time they're chazering, that's already mutter. So we're back to that original kasha. Now that we've established Shabbos, we can, so to speak, get around the Shabbos problem. But why now is there a difference between what you're teaching on Shabbos? So the Gemara answers on the fourth line from the top. Elagabe Shabbos. So the reason by Shabbos is as follows. Hainu taima de enkoyim b'tchilo. The reason why you can't be learning a brand new topic, mishum di yifnu avoisehen di yinuki le mitzvosa de shabosa. Interesting. So the Ron translates this statement a little bit literally, and he says that the fathers will turn to their kids for the mitzvah of Shabbos. What does that mean? That's the literal translation. So what the Ron says is, because teaching kids a brand new topic is very hard. And so the way the Ron learns is that the fathers aren't going to want to do it. So instead of dealing with the kids, they're going to ignore the kids. And that's not Oinig Shabbos. That's the way the Ron learns. The Rosh and the other Rishonim add a little bit more to this. If they're going to say, well, two things. Either because they're not going to want to do this, so it's going to, either because it's going to take extra time, teaching a new topic takes a long time, and they're going to end up missing the su'uda, they're going to end up missing the Oinig Shabbos. That's one way to learn it. So, or it's because they're not going to want to do it, so they're not going to want to get involved, they're going to ignore the kids because they're going to be, I'm going to have to do this, so then I'm just going to end up missing, right? Yeah, the way the Ron learns is that they're not gonna want to do it. And it's not gonna be geschmack to learn with your kid if you're like pulling teeth to learn a new topic. So it's gonna be missing in the Oinig Shabbos. The Gemara gives another teretz, similar but different. Because on Shabbos a person eats more and they drink more than they usually do. And the world becomes very heavy. What that means is, as we know, on Shabbos the cholin puts you to sleep in 2 seconds. You're very tired on Shabbos. It's much harder to focus on a new topic. You just don't have the strength. You're too tired. You don't have the strength to deal with a new topic on Shabbos. So therefore we say, okay, fine. If it's not a new topic, you can deal with it. But to start a new topic on Shabbos is too difficult. And therefore the Mishnah is telling you, we don't do this on Shabbos. It's not the right time. And this is a famous line of Shmuel that says, "Shinoi veses, just changing your schedule, tchilas chodesh me'ayim, is already going to start. It's the beginning of somebody getting sick. They're going to get the pain in the stomach, right? So meaning on Shabbos you're changing you're off schedule. So if you're off schedule, you're not going to be able to deal with things the way you deal with them during the week. So once again, Shabbos is not the right time. It's not the right time to start a new topic, which is, by the way, the my Rosh Hashiva was very makbid that on Shabbos should be used for Chazor. He was very makbid on that. Shabbos is not a time to say, you're not learning Shas on Shabbos. No, Shabbos is Chazor. He was very makbid on this. Yeah, he was very makbid on this. Anyway. But again, there's plenty to learn, even with Chazara. Chazara doesn't mean you're just parroting what you said. You could get a deeper understanding, right? It's just not a brand new topic. You're not starting something fresh that you never saw before. There's nothing wrong with learning more and better and enhancing what you did, but you just shouldn't be, whatever. That's what the Gemara says. In any event, okay, back to our sugi. So our sugi here, the point was, that we wanted to make a distinction. We had a machlekes rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan why it's mutter to teach children chumash, and usually by chumash we're talking about generally speaking younger children. The point is it's mutter either because you're just watching them, or because you're just watching or you're just teaching them how to read it. You're not getting into depth of the chumash itself. Okay, fine. And then Shabbos is not a problem because again you're going to do havlo. And even when you're teaching on Shabbos, you just have to make sure that the sugya that you're teaching is something that it's not brand new, even if it's new, but it can't be brand new. Okay, fine. Now let's get back to what we were talking about before. So we have this machlekes rabim Rav Yochanan. So even if you want to say that we're following the shitas that all you're doing is just how to read it, and that's why it's mutter. My time lo yomer schar shimur. So why can't you give that? Why can't you? What's wrong with the schar shimur to pay for the babysitting? That's perfectly legitimate. So the Gemara answers. Now we have a girsa. The Ran has two girsas over here. Our girsa is kasover bonois mi kabayon shimur. Because he holds that this applies to all children, and girls don't need to be watched. Now, this is a very interesting kilik. This is the Ran's second shot. This is not really the Ran's main girsa, but it's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. And he says that it's because girls don't need to be watched. So, and this is why I pointed out before in the beginning, what are you watching them from? The way the Ran set it up was, you're watching them from going outside and getting into trouble. So he says, girls don't get into trouble so much. So you don't need to watch them as much as boys. Boys, you let them free, you let them roam, do whatever they want. The next thing you know, there's a big crash someplace. You don't know what's going to happen. Whereas my girls, you can manage without this. So therefore, anyway, so the point is that since the topic over here of what's mutter, or I can make my nether on both boys and girls, and for girls, there is no issue of watching of the babysitting. You don't need babysitting for girls, according to the way the Gemara is set up over here. So Mamela, it doesn't fit. If you want it to be to apply to both boys and girls, we talk about reading. Reading can apply to both boys and girls equally. So therefore, I'd rather talk about pisuk than talk about the shimer. That's the girsa. That's the second girsa that the Ran has. The Ran actually for himself has a different girsa than the girsa we have in the Gemara. He reads the Gemara as my time alayam eschar shimer. He says kosovar godol mikabayan shimer. He doesn't have the word bonois. He has the word godol. And then of course it's very simple. By adults don't need supervision. By children, they need supervision. But if we're talking about a gadol, which is the way we read the Gemara, again, there's a problem with the girsa here, but let's just repeat what the Ran says. The Ran has the girsa of a gadol, and gadol doesn't need shimur. So if we're talking about teaching, we're talking about how to read the psukim. We're not talking about babysitting over here, so therefore babysitting or shimur does not apply. Okay, fine. So that's why we say, now, ulamandi yomer schar shimur. Now, fine. Okay, so that's why he's forced to learn that it is the pisuk, the how to read the psukim. But lamandi amar schar shimur. So, but there is another shita that says we could be talking about the watching. My time eloy amar schar pisuk time. Why doesn't he say that it's because I'm getting paid just to show him how to read? So this is the machlokes. Kosovar pisuk timeim daraisahi, because he holds how to read the pasuk. That's part of the Torah. That's part of the halacha of Moshe Misina. That's part of what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. So therefore, there is no difference. If you hold, like we established, that teaching Torah is also to get paid for, so pisuk timeim, reaching how to read the pasuk, that's part of the Torah. So there is no difference. So I have to come up with something else that has nothing to do with the teaching. And that's why he's, so to speak, backed into saying that we're talking about the shimur, the babysitting. As opposed to anything that has to do with teaching, anything that has to do with the Torah, even if it's how to read it, that is considered part of teaching Torah, and that would be usher to take payment for. How do we know this? Amar Rav Ikavar Abin, Amar Rav Chananel, Amar Rav. Says in the name of Rav, Maidichsev, what does the pasuk says? Vayikru b'sefer Torah sa'alekim. This is all a pasuk a pasuk in Nehemia. Says they read from the Torah Sadekim, Mefurash v'shum sechel v'yavinu b'mikra. Okay, that's the pasuk. They, what was beferish in the Torah from their sechel and what they understood in the pasuk. Now, what is this pasuk teaching us? Vayikru b'sefer Torah Sadekim. They read from the Torah z'mikra. This is talking about the Chumash or anything that goes with it. Mefurash z'targum. That's what the explanation goes with the Targum, which the Targum explains the Torah. The Shum Seichel, Elaps Hapsukim. So the Shum Seichel, and this is the point that we're, according to the way we're dashing, Shum Seichel, and the understanding is how to read the Pasuk. So we see that how to read the Pasuk is, according to Nehemiah, is considered part of what they were learning in the Torah. Vavina B'mikra. And the understanding of the pasuk, that's how to read the pasuk, like we just said. So therefore, that's part of the daraisa, and therefore it's totally, that would be the amri lo elam asayrois, and there are those that learn that it doesn't mean that, so now, this is how you have a machloikis. That is not referring to how does, where you stop and start and what the trop on the pasuk is, but rather it's talking about masayrois, which we're going to learn in 1 second. Masayrois means when those things that are written in the Torah and that we don't read, or how we pronounce it, or like the difference between cholov and chaylev, it makes a big difference how you pronounce it, and what, you know, what's written in the Torah and we don't read, or what we read and what's not written in the Torah, and so on and so forth. So that is what Nehemiah was talking about, but it's not necessarily talking about the piece of Taimon. It's not talking about the trop. It's not talking about where an asnachta, where the end of a word or where the end of a pasuk is. Okay? So that's your basic machlekes. Now, once we talk about Masorah, now we're going to start going through what the Masorah is and various pesukim. We're not going to get through the whole thing today, but we'll start. Right, so the Gemara says, the Gemara now is going to go through the what the Masorah is. So Amar Rav Yitzchak, Mikra Soifrim, V'Iter Soifrim. Now we're going to explain what each one of these is. Mikra Soifrim is the psukim that the Soifrim are those, the, let's call them the Rishonim, before the Rishonim, that before the Tanoim even, taught us how to read the psukim. V'Iter Soifrim is those things that, okay, the way the Ran learns is those words in the Torah that explain to us what the pasuk is referring to, the kriyon and how to read them, the kriyon v'loik sivan, and those things that we read even though they're not written in the Torah, but sivan v'loik kriyon, and those words that are written in Tanakh but we don't read them, halacha l'moshe mi'Sinai, those are all the Masorah that we have, and all these things are halacha l'moshe mi'Sinai from Moshe Rabbeinu passed on the Masorah. Okay, what do each one of these phrases mean? So again, as I said, the only way we can appreciate this is by keeping track of the pesukim. Mikra Soifrim, what does that mean, the teaching out of pasuk? Because first of all, the girsa over here is Eretz, Oretz, Shamayim, Mitzrayim. These are pesukim in the Torah. It's actually how to pronounce them. Sometimes we pronounce it Eretz, sometimes we pronounce it Oretz, and Shamayim, technically, how do we know how to read it Shamayim? It should really be Samim, or what? Or Shamim, right? The Shamayim, the fact that we have the Ma over here, really, is, there should be an extra Aleph in the word in order to make it pronounced that way. Oh, Mitzrayim, also the Ra of Rayim, of Mitzrayim, also needs an Aleph over there. So the fact that we know how to read it, even though the Aleph is not there, that is a Mikra, that's the Seifrim taught us that's the correct pronunciation of the Torah. That's a Masorah that we have, that the proper pronunciation is Mitzrayim. We say it all the time. We don't even think about it. But really, that's because we're so used to hearing it that we don't think about it. But if you were reading it for the first time, you could technically read it incorrectly, Mitzrim. You can read a Mitzrim. It doesn't have to be Mitzrayim. You wouldn't know that you're reading it incorrectly. That's what Mikra Seifrim means. Iter Seifrim. Iter Seifrim are those words that I'll, for lack of a better way of explaining it, are extra words in the Torah that are there just to help us understand what the pasuk means, even though without that word we might have understood it correctly anyway, or we could have misunderstood it. So, it says, Achar Tavayru, this is talking about by Rivka, when they wanted to take Rivka back to Yitzchak to marry her, they said, let's let her stay a month, and then afterwards we'll let her go. Oh, sorry, that's the next one. That's Achar Selech. That's the next pasuk. Achar Tavayru is referring to, I lost track. Right, the first you're going to take, right, this is by Avraham Avinu, it says, first take some bread, and then you could leave. So achar the achar over there, of course, it's first you're going to eat and then tavayir and then you'll leave. So the achar there is just to explain that we're talking about first you'll fully eat and then tavayir and then you'll go. Achar seilek, we just explained, was talking about by Rivka, that it said first you'll wait a month and then you'll go. But if you look at the order of the pasuk, it anyway was the seilek, the going was after the waiting. Achar Tesap is talking about by Miriam, that after she waited 7 days after outside of the camp, that first we after she came back, then Klal Yisrael first traveled. Okay, Kidmu Sarim Achar Noignim. This is talking about a pasuk in Tehillim, referring to that first the Sarim, the officers would come in, and then afterwards is by in the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, and then Noignim, and then afterwards the people that were singing would come in afterwards. Again, the word Acher was just there, placed there so that we know that there's an order. It's a Koscha Kehare El. So this is a little bit different. This pasuk is not, it's, the word El is referring to Hashem over here, really goes before. It's Hashem's tzidkus, and therefore it's like a mountain. In other words, the Torah is, because it's Hashem's Torah, it's like a mountain. It's so great. So with the word kel, really, it's tzidkoscha kahare. That's one way of learning. That's the second shot in the Ran. The first shot in the Ran is actually the chof of kahare. It doesn't need to say the chof. It should have said tzidkoscha kahare kel. That your tzitzkus is harim, like we say, because the whole pasuk is, by the way, just because it says tzitzkus karekel, and then it says mishpotecho tahoim rabo. It doesn't say ki tahoim rabo. It says tzitzkus tahoim rabo. Your mishpatim are very deep. And it should have said, like, very deep. Right? And so the same thing, Tzidkoscha, like a mountain. Why does it say, Kehareel? It should have said, Hareel, is a mountain.
That's the Iter Sofer.
Right, that's the Iter Sofer. There's an extra word there, or extra letter, in order to, so in order to help us understand the meaning of the pasuk a little bit better. Okay, that's that topic. Next topic is the Kri and the Lake Sivan. Those, and we're just gonna do these, and we're gonna leave the next for next time here at Hashem. We'll just do the Kri V'Loik Siv, meaning we read the words in the Pasuk even though they're not actually written there. Okay, so there's Paras, the word Para de Belechtoi in the Pasuk of Para Telechtoi. So over there it says Lahashiv Yodoi of, not Para, it's Paras. It's Lahashiv Yodoi Benahar Pras. It doesn't say the word Pras in the Pasuk. It just says that he went back to the river. It doesn't say which river. So we read it, the Nahar Pras, we know that the river we're referring to is Nahar Pras. Ish, the word Ish, the Kasher Yishol, Ish Bidvar Halekim. So that Pasuk is talking about, it's Pasuk in Shmuel, when he went to ask advice. So it says, Kasher Yishol Bidvar Halekim. He went to ask what for advice of Hashem. But where did he go? He went to the Navi to ask for, the word Ish is not written in the Pasuk, so we realize that how was he seeking Hashem? He was seeking Hashem through a person, through a Navi. Boyim, the word Boyim, Divinivnasa, that Pasuk is referring also, there's a Pasuk in Yirmiyah, right, so the famous Pasuk, Hine Yamim Boyim Nu'um Hashem, that there are days that are going to come, and it's going to be, and the city is going to be rebuilt. So it doesn't say, it just says there'll be days. It'll take days. Now we could read that without the word boyim. We could just say that it's going to take a long time to rebuild. But instead it says, hine yamin boyim, there are days that are going to come. It means days in the future, Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. The word lo depleta, this is referring to, that again also in Yirmiyah when Klal Yisrael went by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that there will be those that will escape. Klal Yisrael will always survive. It says Al Yehi Pleita Shalmullah. So we say Yehi La is referring to Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim will have those. The word La is not written in the Torah, but it's referring to Yerushalayim will have those that will survive. Okay, and then it says the word S, the Hugad, Hugad, Hugade, Hugad. This is talking about by Boaz, in Rus that he was told, and it's missing the word es that we put in. That who is he referring to? Es chamosecha. It's actually a machlekes rishonim where the es is supposed to be placed. It's interesting that we have a machlekes like that. But our mesira is that it's es chamosecha, your mother-in-law, referring to Naomi.
If I opened up a mitzvah.
The word Eli de Hagoirin, this is again referring to Rus when she went down to the silo that Boaz was sleeping, that she said, the pasuk is Vatimer Eli Kol Asher Toimer Eli Asa. What Rus told Boaz was, whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. It's just an interesting aside over here that the Ran points out that the word Goyrin is not actually in the pasuk. That it's the word Eli is not before the word Goyrin. It's not in that pasuk. It doesn't say the word Goyrin in that pasuk at all. But we refer to it to HaGoyrin so that you'll know the context of what we're talking about and you can figure out which pasuk we're referring to. And lastly, and we'll stop over here, is Eli de HaSa'irin. The word Eli, also Eli, by Ruth, where Ruth was telling Naomi that she received the Sa'irin, that Boaz gave her the six kernels, and she said that, and she, the way she phrased it was, he said, Eli to me. Because otherwise, without the word Eli, he said it, we don't know who he's talking to. So we read it as if it's written. So those are, and we're gonna stop over here, Kriyon Veloi Kasvan. That we read them even though they are not written in the Torah. Okay, so we're in the middle of what the Messiah was from Moshe Rabbeinu, but we'll stop for today. We'll stop over here and we'll pick up with these last things. Mir Tashem, next time.